Please do take seats as we think about this story of Job, this chap Job who lived in the land of Uz. We're not quite sure where Uz was. Somewhere in the east, maybe. We don't really know. And we don't really know exactly what time period Job lived in either. We don't know whether it's really early in the very, very early part of the older part of the Bible, whether it's later on. We don't know where it sits in the life of the Israel people. But maybe not knowing is an advantage. Maybe it's better to just read through Job, understanding him as some guy, some place, at some time. But we know a lot about him. We know that he is well blessed. He has this lovely large family. He has this super large estate. He's got oxen. He's got sheep. He's got camels. He's got servants who look after all those animals. He is rich and blessed. But we also know that he worships God. That he sets his life right with God and he takes special care to do so. Do you know, like when his sons and daughters who are now grown up and they have their birthday parties and they roll out the wine and the best vintage and they celebrate, the next morning Job will be up at the crack of dawn to sacrifice, to set things right with God again, just in case in the party they did wrong. Just in case. He will do this to make sure that him and his family are right with God. And that's what we know about Job. But then the camera cuts from the earthly scene with Job and his family and his blessing to a heavenly council. Now we can imagine the blessing of Job and his estates. The heavenly council, that's a bit harder for us to get our heads round. And in this council, angels come and talk with God. So yeah, okay. But Satan, the Hebrew word for Satan, means the accuser, the adversary, the one who is set to meddle, seems to come and chat with God as well. That's gonna mess with our heads. What is that about? And in fact, God seems to invite Satan and start chatting to him and actually introduces the subjects of Job and say, have you considered Job and how he lives and how he worships? And that prompts Satan, the accuser, to set a challenge. And says, well, of course he does, because his life is all peachy. He's got everything, it's all good and you protect it. Of course he's going to worship you. Take that away, change his environment and you watch, his heart will change. Well, you've got to hand it to Satan, because that challenge, you've got to say, actually, it almost sounds like that'd be true. I mean, we've probably known people who, when everything is all fine, they're quite happy to worship God. But when stuff goes bad, then they struggle to do so. We've seen that, right? And like another example might be, like, this is a classic, think back to your youth or young adults, and you've got girl and boy. Boy has faith in Jesus. Girl is attracted to boy. Girl starts being interested in Jesus too. It's great. Wants to come to an Alpha course or a youth work or whatever. But of course there comes a time when the relationship falls apart, or the boy says, no way, Jose, or whatever. And then the girl's not so interested in finding about Jesus. We've probably seen this play out. So there's something about his challenge that rings true. And even more curiously, in the heavenly council, God accepts the challenge and says, okay, you can inflict some doom on Job. Now, by now, you must be thinking, what is that? What is going on? God allowing Satan to do this stuff. How does that work? How does that compute? Well, just hold two things for a moment. One is that it's not God who does the meddling. It's this Satan. God allows Satan, but it's Satan who does the actual dirty work. And the second thing to hold on to is that God puts limits on Satan. He says, okay, you can do stuff, but only this far. In other words, God is still in overall control. You can't go beyond those limits that God has set. Well, now back to earthly scene. It's a lovely sunny day. It's all good. The whole estate is out. The servants are out working. The sons and daughters are at another party. And then suddenly a messenger comes to Job. Job, Job, it's terrible, it's terrible. There's been a raiding party. Those wretched Sabaeans have come and they've taken all the oxen and they killed all the servants who were looking after them. And he had just about finished his sentence when another messenger comes up and says, Job, Job, it's really, really bad. There's this like this bolt of lightning or fire from the sky and all your sheep are gone. And the shepherds, your servants who are looking after them, they're dead as well. And he's just finished that sentence when another messenger comes up and says, Job, Job, it's really bad. There's a raiding party, Chaldeans from three different directions. And they've taken all the camels and they put to death all your people who were looking after them. See how these different messages come hot on the heels of each other from random different directions. It's bam, 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 bad news, bad news, bad news. Now, so far, it's all just property. Back in those days, servants would be classed as property. It's bad, I know. It wasn't until 200 years ago that we started to realize that maybe they're human beings and we shouldn't just see them as property. But that would be the way. They were property. I know there's a fourth thing which we'll come to in a moment. But see how these different random things fly in from different directions and hit one after another. That interests me because Karen and I, we know that feeling where different random things suddenly come. We've found over years, particularly when we're about to be in a really intense mission time, maybe like running an Alpha weekend or somewhere where we know that it's going to be particularly intense and people are going to discover Jesus and things are going to happen. We've discovered that in the week or 10 days before that activity, suddenly, randomly, different things start going wrong. And we start getting news that this is broken and then we hear that that's gone wrong and then this person's hurt and so on. And they just come, ping, 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 ping. Some are trivial, like the CD player in the car stopped working. But, you know, others are more serious. But we find that these random things start humming. And what we learnt is this. Don't let them distract you. We're like, well, we got this mission thing this weekend. Do you think there's a link? Now, the things are real. We're not minimizing those. And, you know, some are bad and they hurt. But we learn to keep our focus on God and what he's calling us to do. Yes, pray into the stuff that's going wrong or that's gone bad. But don't let it absorb you. Don't let it suck you down. Keep your focus on God and the task in hand. So these three messengers come, but of course there's the fourth who comes with terrible news. Says, look, We've had this tornado, and we've seen on our TV screens what tornadoes can do, right, over in the States and that, and with global warming, they're getting worse. They just rip through the house where your sons and daughters were staying, and they are all dead. Now, so far it's been property, animals, servants, but now it's family. Now it's personal. That's gotta hurt. That's gotta hurt. And then we see Job's response in verse 20. He tears his robe. He shaves his head. And then he worships. Of course, he's feeling must be hideous pain. Of course, he's feeling hurt. Of course, he's absolutely down in his dumps. He tears his robe and he knows that something's wrong. He shaves his head, whether that's a sign of mourning or whatever. In some cultures, that would be the case. But he reacts in those ways that you would expect someone to react with that much pain going on. But then he still worships. Remember the challenge from the accuser? Oh, messes with his life and you'll soon see it changes. Not with Job. He worships. Our key question for this month is going to come up on the screen now. Is a question about how we relate to God. And it's this: how do you feel about God when things get tough? Something to ponder through this month. How do you feel about God when things get tough, when things don't always go your way, when things go wrong or bad stuff happens or stuff hurts you or hurts those around you? What does that do to your relationship with God? The challenge, seeing Job's example, is to choose to worship God no matter what. Job calls out to God in his gut-wrenching pain and still worships. Are we able to do anything like similar to Job? And Job says these words. He says, look, I came into this world naked. I was born stark naked. I will depart from this world one day and I won't be able to take whatever stuff, if I've got any stuff with me. So naked I came in, naked I'll go. And in the middle, the Lord may give stuff. The Lord might take stuff away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In other words, his ability to praise is not tied to what happens. His understanding of God and who God is and that God is good doesn't rise or fall on whether he's got a big, nice estate or doesn't. Now, his knowledge of God has a depth to it that isn't swayed by these ups and downs of life. It is still there. The Lord gives, he takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I can still worship because God is not defined by these things. He is still God and is still to be worshipped. Those words should be familiar to us, shouldn't they? He gives and he takes away. I'm sure we've got a song that goes like that. What's it? He gives and takes away. He gives and takes away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name.
What a wonderful set of words. The most important words in those few lines. Lord, blessed be your name. The declaration of God and who he is. But the second most important words in that little bridge section of that song is, my heart will choose. My heart will choose to say. Worship for us is a choice. A choice that you get to make. The same with Job. He could decide. What is he going to do in the face of all that's happening, of all this news, of in his grief? He chose to worship. A choice that we also get to make. Remember that our worship is way, 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 way more than the songs that we sing, good as though they are. Our worship is about our whole life. It is us saying, I'm going to set my life right with God. I'm going to set my ways with God. I'm going to set myself so that my heart resonates with his, my desires resonate with his desires, and so on. And from that, we then declare inwardly and outwardly, silently and verbally, out loud, and that's where the songs come in handy to help us declare out loud what we have already chosen to set in our lives. And so that's why I say, like a Sunday morning when we gather and we've got musicians and stuff, that's not our worship. No, that's the overflow of our worship from the week. It's the bubbling over of a choice that we have made through the week. Remember that Job patterned his life to set his life right with God. If his children had a party the next day, he would be sacrificing and setting right again. That was his pattern. He patterned his life to continually set it right with God. Us as a people here in 2023, we have a regular ritual that we do to set our lives afresh right with God, which is the communion here. Jesus has died on the cross, he's rose again. That's done all that is necessary for us to be in the clear with God. So we don't have to do the animal sacrifice thing that Job had to do, because that's done. But we rehearse that by running it through with a communion and taking the bread and the juice. And in there, we get the opportunity, just in case, to set our lives right with God once again. And we get the opportunity to be with God. Old-fashioned word for that is commune with God, which is why it's called communion. There's a clue in the name. A chance to just be with God and go forward from there. And the challenge is to do that no matter what's going on. But when you make that choice to worship in spite of everything, not to minimize the stuff or trivialize it or pretend it doesn't exist, it does, but in the face of it, to still worship. When you choose to do that, understand this, that you are engaging in a spiritual fight. A spiritual battle. Our young people, we took them to laser tag on Friday night, and so they were chasing around, shooting each other with lasers, and it was great fun and totally exhausting. But at the end of them, I said to them, look, there's real conflict out in the world today, and people are shooting each other, not with lasers, but with guns and rockets and cruise missiles. We too, as Christians, are in a fight, but we don't use those kind of weapons. We use spiritual weapons, where we declare who God is.
And go with that. And that changes things. There's this wonderful, wonderful episode in Acts. So it's the early Christians, just after the time of Jesus. And Paul and Silas are two of these Christians telling people in Philippi about the wonders of Jesus and encouraging them to meet Jesus and to start lives of worship for themselves. The locals get a bit uppity about this and they rough them up and they beat them up and they chuck them in jail. Sat in jail, Paul and Silas, they could have sat there aching and paining. They could have sat there groaning. They could have sat there complaining about how badly they had been treated. But they chose to worship. And they started doing that by singing songs to each other and then singing songs to the other prisoners, declaring the wonders of God through their songs. It literally rocked the house. There was an earthquake and the jail fell apart. When we worship, we are engaged in spiritual battle and stuff happens. Because the accuser is out there all around meddling and messing and saying stuff that puts people down and cuts across people's lives. And is doing that all the time in all kinds of different ways. But when we choose to worship in the face of all that meddling and accusing and all that stuff and down treading that's going on, we say, no, God is good. And that is where I choose to stand. And the rest of the world can catch on. So in a moment, we are going to take communion for all those who would love to join us in doing that, for all those who love to set their life right with God through Jesus Christ, which is the offer to everyone in this building, the offer to the whole city, to the whole world. And we'll use this time to be with God and then continue to respond and declare with a couple more songs to help us in that. Let's just pause and pray a moment. Lord Jesus, you have set the way. Now we choose to be in you, you in us, our lives, our hearts, our desires resonating with you. Come, Lord. Maybe you give, maybe you take away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. As we lead into that, we've just got a little commercial break.